Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy analyst and writer at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this podcast is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
How's it going, Justin? Doing great.
I'm doing fantastically, ready to continue our division previews, and we're going to go up north. We're going to go up to the NFC North, but before we do, want to remind everybody to go and vote for us over at the Podcast Awards. Go to thepodcastawards.com. Vote for Friends of Fantasy Benefits in the sports category, and we're teamed up with the Sleeper in the Bus podcast and Pop Goes Your World. You can vote for Pop Goes Your World in the entertainment categories and the Sleeper in the Bus over in the People's Choice. So vote for us in sports, Pop Goes Your World in entertainment, and the Sleeper in the Bus in People's Choice at the podcastawards.com. Before we jump into the Chicago Bears, though, Colin, why don't you remind people where you are reached on social media, and then if you got anything to plug, go ahead and plug it.
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherwax13. I just recorded a Kuhn and Friends podcast, which is the baseball side of FWFB with Ben Brennis and Ray Kuhn. Basically just a first half overview, who we were right on, who we were wrong about, and a few little tips going into the second half as well. There's a lot of Mets talk though, so if you don't want to listen to the Mets portion, just skip through about 15 minutes.
This is what happens when Ben comes back after a little bit of break. He just wants to talk about the Mets.
And then just pair him with Ray. And
I
tried to do the best that I could with what I had, but it did get a little lengthy.
Well, we're not going to talk any Mets. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Should we do our toss-up? We forgot to do it the last time you and I got together. Mike Alexander's been giving us just a random player to do a toss-up on, just kind of talk about what we think, if they're a viable sleeper or if they're a viable fantasy player or what we think of them. We got Kittle, tight end from the San Francisco 49ers. What are your thoughts on Kittle?
Well, they know your thoughts on him. You said he was a terrible player last week on the last one.
Yes.
I think he's a sleeper. He's someone that I'm definitely targeting in a two tight end league. In a one tight end league, unless it's like 15 teams deep, he's probably not a viable starter for me. That being said, there's just so much, question marks in the tight end position in football. So I think in a given week, he might be able to get you a touchdown. He might be able to get you 50 yards. But other than that, he's not going to be, exciting, to say the least.
Yeah, I think he's a streamer. You kind of place him in. You see a matchup with a team that maybe struggles against the tight end or if he starts getting hot. But, there's no way, unless I'm in a two tight end league, and who the hell plays in a two tight end league, that I'm going to be drafting Kittle this season. So there you go, Mike. I did the toss up. It was a bad one. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. And I think you have to lead off the Bears with Mitch Trubisky, because I think he is one of the people are arguing about the most this season. And I'm not a big fan. I don't know where you sit on Trubisky, but why don't you tell me, are you drafting Mitch Trubisky?
I'm probably not drafting him unless he's there for my third quarterback in a two quarterback league, but I have no trust starting him, starting off the season. But there are the people in his camp that are saying, look, this offensive mastermind is coming in to be his head coach, and this could be another Jared Goff situation from last year. And, I mean, he does have a few weapons on offense. He has Allen Robinson, who's coming off of an injury.
Hell of a lot more than he had last year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had two running backs, and that was about it. They got Trey Burton as well in the offseason. So there are some weapons around him. I hope he develops. I hope the best for the kid. I know he's got a lot of pressure around him being, a Chicago Bears quarterback. But I'm probably not going to trust him in any format this year.
Yeah, I don't think we know enough about Trubisky and what his true talent level at the NFL level is yet. I'm not going to hold last year against him, but I'm also not going to say, well, this guy now has all this talent, he's going to be good. We have no idea how good he's going to be, if he's going to be able to stay in pocket and make throws. We also, we'll talk more about Allen Robinson here in a minute. We also don't know these playmakers that are coming in and some of the ones they've had before. We have no idea how this is going to shake out. Is Allen Robinson going to be completely healthy? Is Kevin White ever going to be healthy? Like, there's some serious question marks on this offense. I know a lot of people are high on a lot of guys on this team. I am definitely not high on Mitch Trubisky. However, I am high on Jordan Howard. I think Jordan Howard is being a little bit underdrafted this year. I think he's being a little neglected. I think any offensive improvements to this team is going to benefit Jordan Howard, especially with a quarterback who can move around and help him in the running game like Trubisky. I think Howard's going to have a huge season. Where are you at on Howard?
Well, me and you actually have him ranked 12th, so we're right in line. I think he's going to be a workhorse. I think he's going to perform a lot like he did last year. He was a little bit sporadic last year, which is kind of frustrating to own in a week-to-week league, especially, you know, the first couple games in the season when everyone was on the Tariq Cohen, you know, bandwagon. But I think coming into this year, they know he's their workhorse. They know they can lean on him whenever they have to, whenever they don't want Mitch to throw the ball or whenever they get close to the goal line. He's just money down there. So I think for sure he's right in there as a top, you know, top RB1 or, you know, top RB2 for sure.
Yeah, I almost got him in, oh God, was it the, I can't remember if it was third or fourth or fifth or sixth rounds. But I got him, I almost got him super late, and then I think Elliot Christ jumped in and snagged him from me right at the last second. I was pretty pumped about being able to get Jordan Howard as late as he was going in the Scott Fish Bowl this year. Yeah, maybe my next draft. But I like Howard. I think he is not being talked about because he doesn't come off as this kind of game-breaking running back. But, man, dude is just a plow. And I think things can only go up for him as long as he's healthy. Where are you at on Tariq Cohen? I think he's a divisive guy in the industry right now. Some people are thinking this is going to be huge for him this year, and some people are kind of backing away from him.
I'm one of the people that's backing away from him. I think, you know, he's dynamic. I think he's more of like a punt returner, kick returner type guy. They'll have specific plays set up for him, like screens and swing passes and stuff like that, but he just won't have that big of a role in the offense, I don't think. I have him ranked 55th, so he's not even on the flex radar for me, really. Mm-hmm. I could see, you know, if Howard gets hurt. I don't see him taking a full workload if Howard gets hurt, but I could see him becoming more of a focal point in the offense. But I just don't see, you know, how the second running back on the Bears is going to be viable on a given week.
You know where I think he is viable is in best ball formats. Like,
yeah.
If you can get him late in a best ball format, I think he is one of those guys that will win you certain weeks, because there are going to be weeks where he just completely goes off. I just don't know how in a traditional league where you have to set a lineup and put him in it or leave him out of it, how you're going to predict when they're going to come.
Yeah, and that's probably the only format, because like you said, in a best ball, the time that he goes off, he's going to be put in your lineup, and the time that he sits on the bench the whole time, you won't even have to worry about it, because you'll have your other guys that are winning you most weeks in the lineup.
And I mean, I hope I'm wrong, because he is, you know, like the reincarnation of the not dead Darren Sproles. And so I would love to see him just go off every week, but I'm not buying into where he's going in terms of ADP right now. And I think for me, there is only one format where I would be willing to take him, and he's going higher than I would like anyway. So let's move on. Let's talk about the wide receivers in Chicago. I mentioned Allen Robinson has been signed there as a free agent. Taylor Gabriel signed as a free agent. They drafted a number of running backs. They also brought in Benny Fowler from the Broncos, who has never lived up to any sort of hype that he's had. I mean, there's a number of new faces, and then there's Kevin White, who is still there, but is still yet to play more than, like, one play a season. So what are you doing in this wide receiver core? Are you buying into anybody?
I want to buy into Allen Robinson because I bought in last year.
Me too.
I have him ranked 18th, so you have him ranked 15th, so we're pretty close in that regard. I think we both factor in a lot of injury, coming off the injury concern, and also going to I mean, it can't be much worse than Blake Bortles, right?
I mean, I don't think it can be. And I think one of the differences is Chicago doesn't have the defense that Jacksonville does. And so maybe we won't have as many of these low-scoring games. I think Chicago's going to be down a lot, and they're going to have to throw. And so that's why I have Allen Robinson where I do, hedging a little on the injury, but ultimately I think he is a top 10 talent on an offense that's going to have to throw quite a bit. So I do like Allen Robinson this year.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Taylor Gabriel. He's more like Marquise Goodwin, like we talked about last show. He's a one-trick pony. He's got a lot of speed. They will have some set plays for him, like screens and, you know, whiplash plays like that. But there are a few, you know, actual skill players on this offense that are interesting. Like you said, you know, the past couple of years, they've had nobody. They were rolling out Josh Bellamy and, you know, just guys off the street that they could find. But they drafted Anthony Miller this past year. Like you said, they signed Benny Fowler, who I kind of like as like a slot presence. And then there's always Kevin White lurking in the background. I want no part of Kevin White ever.
Oh, man, I was so high on Kevin White when he came in. Like, he just, I think if not for injuries, he could have been a really dynamic talent in this league. And I'm not actually giving up on him yet necessarily, but he's not going to find his way to any of my fantasy teams. I can't imagine there is a scenario in which I draft Kevin White. It's just I'm going to watch and see if he can actually suit up week one and be a part of that offense. The guy I'm kind of excited about, and I'm a little bummed I didn't go after him in the Scott Fish Bowl, but I already had a ton of wide receivers, is Anthony Miller. I think one of the hardest positions, at least offensively, to translate in the National Football League is the wide receiver position. I think it takes time because it's you have to really learn how to run polished routes in NFL, which you don't have to do in college football. And Miller is one of the guys who's already running great routes. He ran great routes in college. Reports on him are good so far. I think Miller could be an interesting sleeper. He was a second-round pick this year for the Bears. What are your thoughts on Miller?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I've actually just recently had a chance to watch him. And like you said, a second-round pick coming out of Memphis, he's a polished route runner. I think he finds his way into this offense. Like I said before, Taylor Gabriel is more of a speed threat, whereas Miller could be an awesome complement to Allen Robinson on the other side. So as a sleeper, definitely, I hope his ADP doesn't skyrocket. Just because, you know, if he makes a few plays in the preseason, then you're going to have to pay up for that. But if you're drafting early, he's definitely a guy on my radar.
Yeah, I think he is I don't think he'll go too high. I think people are more enamored with other wide receiver prospects this year. Guys like Ridley have really kind of taken a lot of the publicity. But this is a guy that I think could surprise. So especially like in your like dynasty leagues, I know like we've got a dynasty league coming up for certain members of Friends of Fantasy Benefits that are still in it and other people. So he's a guy that I'm hoping to grab fairly decently in that draft if I can pull the trigger. It depends on where I end up in the lottery. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the tight end situation. They had Shaheen, who I really liked, and I thought, okay, this kid's got a pretty decent future, but then they bring in Trey Burton, so obviously Burton becomes the guy coming in on that contract. Are you drafting Burton, or Shaheen got even any value at this point?
I don't think Shaheen has any value, but to see Trey Burton being drafted as a top 10 tight end is kind of scary.
It's a little ridiculous, right?
It is until you look past who's being drafted after him. I mean, it's Jack Doyle, who has a little bit of competition now. Then there's George Kittle, O.J. Howard. I think David Njoku is probably, you know, a little bit underrated for now. But once you look past the top 10, it's like, okay, well, I can kind of see where he fits in. So I have him ranked 8th right now. I'm not going out of my way to draft him. Like I said, I'm not sure if Mitch Trubisky can get him the ball, if he can feed all the weapons that are around him. I don't see this offense being, you know, okay, I got to start a wide receiver, I got to start a tight end, and I got to start the running back. I think it's going to be on a weekly basis, okay, well, maybe Burton gets a game here, Robinson gets a game here, Howard's going to get his, but it's going to be hard to determine where and when to start them.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to my tight end ranks, because there's no way that I had him ranked sixth. And somehow he's come up. So something went wrong in the spreadsheet we have. So he will be dropping quite a bit far, and I'm really hoping I don't have him as my sixth ranked tight end on the site, because that that would not be okay with me. I don't think he would be in my top 10. Here's the thing. Like, there are just too many options now in this offense. I guess I understand the hype, because crappy quarterbacks rely on the tight end quite a bit. And if you don't think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to open up this offense a ton, then he's going to have to be able to rely on some of these underneath routes where Burton could be a monster. I'm not ready to say that that's the case, and I think that people are projecting that Philadelphia offense, which was dynamic at times, into the Chicago offense, which I think is foolhardy. So I don't want anything to do with Trey Burton. He's not going to be a top 10 tight end when we update our ranks. I'll probably put an update here on Monday. I'd prefer the upside of a Jordan Reed, personally. You know, I think Jack Doyle is a much safer bet, and especially with Andrew Luck coming back, could be a monster in that offense. So, I'm a big Njoku fan, so I just don't see Burton being a top 10 tight end this year for me.
Yeah, I agree about Jordan Reed. I'd definitely take the flyer on him before I take Trey Burton, but Burton's definitely a talented guy. Like everyone saw in the playoffs, I mean, he was a quarterback at Florida for some time. Then he moved over to tight end. He was kind of just their wing back, I guess. You know, he's a fast guy. He's definitely not a blocker, and that might be why Shaheen gets a little bit more credit, because he's going to be in there whenever Howard's in there. And I did like what he did last year. So, you know, in like a best ball situation, I wouldn't mind drafting Shaheen, but I don't think I'm going to afford Trey Burton. Like you said, I'd rather take a risk on like a Jordan Reed or someone like that that's kind of falling due to injury.
All right, let's move over and talk about the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford, this will be a quick conversation. I just want to ask, is he being disrespected in fantasy circles?
I guess. I mean, a little bit. I have him ranked 12th, so I guess I'm one of those people that's disrespecting him. He's just so streaky. And there was a lot of, you know, hoopla about last year being without Calvin Johnson, and what is he going to do? Well, he still performed a little bit. He was still probably a top 10 to 12 quarterback. And, you know, he's been consistent as far as at the end of the season, he's going to get you those numbers. But on a week-to-week basis, he's been kind of, you know, up and down. But with Golden Tate, with Marvin Jones, and of course with everyone's lover boy Kenny Golladay, I think he has a lot of offensive firepower around him to produce, you know, a same type season like he had last year.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like the big games were kind of sporadic, but like he never put up a dud. Like, I think this idea that like he was inconsistent is a little unfair. He had two games in which he put up less than like 13 points, zero games where he put up less than double digit points. He consistently gives production all year long, and I don't understand why people are taking guys like Ben Roethlisberger ahead of him. Like, Roethlisberger is a guy that, can you guarantee he's going to even be on the field during your fantasy playoffs? No. Like,
no.
Why are people drafting him over him? Like, it boggles my mind that people are kind of just discounting Matthew Stafford. I think he's a top 10 quarterback easily this year. I think he's a perfect 2QB guy because he just offers that consistent level of production. I love some of the weapons on this team, so. And I think the Lions offense is going to take a nice little tick up this year too. So I'm a big fan of Stafford this year.
See, I'm one of those guys that has Roethlisberger ahead of him. So you kind of just talked down to me, Justin. But I like the weapons around
Big Ben. I knew what I was
doing. I like the weapons around Big Ben a lot more. I love the thought of Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and Le'Veon Bell
Yeah, but have fun starting Landry halfway through the season or whoever the backup this these days. I mean, like, you're going to miss games. Like, and, I mean, it depends on the depth of your league, but at the end of the day, like, I don't want to have to be, like, throwing out Ryan Tannehill for 3 weeks because just Big Ben's on the on the sidelines. So I like Ben as an upside play, but I play in deeper formats. I think maybe in your 10 and 12 team leagues, I guess I can understand wanting Big Ben over him. But for me, there's just such consistency with Stafford in your deeper formats, your super flex leagues, things like that, that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I think whenever you draft Big Ben, you have to incorporate the fact that you're going to have to deal without him for a couple games. So that is true, but I'm one of those guys that chases.
Better hope those couple games don't come in during your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, that's terrible if that happens.
Let's talk about the running back situation. They bring in LeGarrette Blount. They draft Kerryon Johnson. Who is going? They still have Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, Zach Zenner, Dwayne Washington. Who's going to emerge as the guy in this backfield?
I don't think there will be a guy. This backfield is very interesting, though. I mean, you talk about LeGarrette Blount and what he's done throughout his career and going over to, Matt Patricia. So he knows exactly how to use him. They drafted this guy, Kerryon Johnson. Everyone thought that they were reaching a little bit on draft day just because, he was a talented back, but he only had breakaway plays, really. I was always a Theo Riddick guy. I thought that he should be in more on running plays than he was, just a scat back and receiver basically out of the backfield. So I always have that place in my heart for him. But I think coming into this year, I think I'm going to pick, the cheapest of LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson. I don't feel comfortable starting them every week to start off. I don't feel comfortable them going in as my RB2 to start off the season, but I want to be the guy holding the chips at the end of the day if one of them cashes in.
I took both of these guys, both Blount and Kerryon, in Scott Fishbowl. Got them both, I felt, at pretty decent values, especially Blount, who went super late. So I think that one will emerge. I think it's going to be Johnson. It may start off the year with Blount as the lead back or in some sort of committee, but I think Blount is just about done. And like, if he can't succeed with the Eagles in that offensive line, like, where are we? Like, how is he going to do it in Detroit? Like, I just don't think he is as talented of a running back as he used to be. I'm over LeGarrette Blount as a fantasy option. I just pretty much picked him up as a handcuff to Kerryon Johnson.
Well, the problem with that is you might be right that Kerryon Johnson is going to be the better running back, but LeGarrette Blount is going to get all the touchdowns. He's going to steal them all from Kerryon Johnson whenever he gets tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line.
that's fantasy. Like, I mean, unless you're drafting, one of these, top 10, top 12 running backs, that's going to happen. Like, that's just that is the way of the world. You just got to, hope that Kerryon's playmaking ability is going to, carry him through in the long run, in that he's not going to get stopped at, inside the five very often. So I believe in Kerryon Johnson. I mean, go watch his highlight tapes on YouTube. I mean, dude's an absolute freak.
Oh, yeah. The dude's a beast. He's fast and, he just, I don't know if he's going to translate right away to the NFL game.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, this is, I think, if you can avoid this situation, it's not an awful thing to avoid, but I love the upside. So I think, like I said, I took him in the Scott Fishbowl, or both in the Scott Fishbowl, just on the upside alone. And I think, especially in a format like that, he might be worth it. Let's talk about the wide receivers, because Marvin Jones and Golden Tate still appear to be the top receivers in this offense, but man, is there a lot of talk about Kenny Golladay, and I'm a huge fan. So where do you kind of fall on, like, who is the wide receiver you want out of this offense?
In a PPR league, I lean towards Golden Tate. Sure. I know, 2 years ago he was very streaky. He kind of came on towards the end of the year, and then last year he was pretty consistent the whole year, and I had a lot of shares of Golden Tate, so I was pretty excited about that. Currently I have him ranked as number 22. So I have him right there as a back end wide receiver 2. Marvin Jones, I have ranked 24th, and I see you have a huge love for Kenny Golladay, ranking him number 40th.
I think that this is the breakout year for Golladay. I think he is a special talent. I think Jones is at the end of his usefulness. And watching the playmaking ability that Kenny Golladay has, and the ability, I think he could emerge easily as this top wide receiver in this offense. And I'm all in.
Yeah, it seems that way. I won't take this side of the bet, but I'm willing to bet you that Marvin Jones outscores Kenny Golladay this year. Are you going to take that bet?
Sure. What do you want to bet?
Oh, man. We'll do something similar to our baseball bet where we have to change our avatar.
You know what we should
like
do?
That.
We'll just keep like a running log of our bets.
Okay.
And then at the end of the year, we'll come up with some sort of big punishment for the loser.
I'm down.
You know, whether it's something publicly embarrassing or, we'll come up with something. But I feel like you and I are going to make a ton of bets this year. You and I are going to probably do the weekend preview show. We're going to be, you know, getting together every Thursday and talking. So I think you and I are going to have quite a few bets this year. So let's see. It's Golladay versus Marvin Jones, right?
Yeah, and we'll just you want to do a format like PPR or standard?
Standard scoring.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right. All right. So let's talk about the tight end situation here in Detroit. Eric Ebron moves on. Luke Wilson comes in. Any interest in Wilson? Or I guess Tulolio is still around. They've got someone named Michael Roberts who is supposedly second on the depth chart. Is there a tight end on this team worth owning in fantasy?
I'm a sucker for Luke Wilson. I don't know why. I just think he's so athletic.
You like his movies?
Yeah, I do, definitely. No, I love his athleticism. I thought he was underused and underappreciated in Seattle. So I think he actually might be a back end, you know, sleeper for me at tight end, especially in best ball before his hype gets too real. But I do think that he has a role in this offense. He does not have the diva lifestyle of Eric Ebron. So, and I think he's just about as talented, if not more. So I actually kind of like him in this offense.
I kind of do too. And it's I don't know how much work he's going to get with all three of these wide receivers on this team. But Stafford actually targeted Ebron a fair amount in the red zone. Ebron just has hands of stone.
Yep.
Like he just,
that's the only problem.
Like Ebron is just the worst. And so Luke Wilson is a big body, you know, 6'4", 250. Actually has decent hops for a guy like him. I think Wilson is a sneaky deep league tight end too. So if you're in
I love that for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that like if you're in like a 14 or a 16 team league, you want to roster a second tight end. I think he's a guy to kind of go and grab late on in a draft because nobody is talking really about Luke Wilson right now.
Yeah, except for us. But in Seattle, I mean, he made some big plays, but they would just never put him back on the field after he did. And like I said, he's no prima donna. He has, you know, no, you know, character. But that's a good thing on this offense and in the NFL as a producer. I think he's going to produce, and I love the fact of taking him as a sleeper tight end.
All right, let's move on and talk about the Green Bay Packers a little bit.
They don't have anybody, though. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
We should just move on.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So Aaron Rodgers, clear-cut number one quarterback. I'm not even going to discuss this. This is, like, right? I mean...
I'll take Mitchell Trubisky in a bet with you.
Yeah, let's just move on. All right, what are you doing in the running back situation? Aaron Jones suspended 2 games. Ty Montgomery is Ty Montgomery. Jamal Williams appears to be the guy who has the best shot at early down work in weeks 1 and 2. Is Williams going to run away with his job? Is Ty Montgomery going to have a resurgence? Is Aaron Jones going to just take this back when he... ends up back week 3.
I love this situation going into the season. I don't know why. I just love the fact
that I hate this situation.
I love the fact
it's such a clusterfuck.
Well, I love to play the lottery. So, you know, I'm going to be picking one of these guys and hoping one of them hits. So I see that we both, I have him ranked 33 and 34, Jamal Williams right ahead. You have Aaron Jones right ahead, but you have him back to back as well. So for
just
me,
hedging my bets is what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, I like to take the cheapest one on draft day. I don't want to pay up for Jamal Williams if he's getting all the hype, you know, in the preseason, because I do think whenever Aaron Jones comes back, that, you know, there is a role for him. And I think he could easily supplant Jamal Williams like he did last year as the lead back in Green Bay. But then the other side of me is like, okay, so much hype on Ty Montgomery last year. So much, way too much. Everyone was drafting him like Jarrett McKinnon this year. So do I want to take a chance on the post-hype sleeper? And my thought, of course, is yes. So that's why I'm like, I want to get shares of all of them. I'm probably going to end up with a lot more Aaron Jones than Jamal Williams because I like the cheapest one. And the two-game suspension, I've seen a lot of analysts around you know, Twitter saying, I love this for Aaron Jones because he's going to be falling. He's going to come back and he's going to win this job. And I'm going to get, you know, a lot of production out of, you know, a teen round draft pick.
I'm in that camp. I think that, I think that Aaron Jones is the better running back out of him and Williams. And two, he easily has the most upside out of those two. And so if I'm going to take a gamble on one of them, it's going to be on Aaron Jones. And I did that in the Scott Fishbowl. Scott Fishbowl is one of those leagues with, God, how many people are in it this year?
900, I think.
I believe. So it's like you have to win a lot of these lottery tickets to have a chance to win the overall in the Scott Fishbowl. And I think Aaron Jones is one of those lottery tickets. The two-game suspension does hold down his price, which is actually kind of perfect. You just have to be careful about the rest of your roster construction because you can't, I mean, unless you're me in the Scott Fishbowl, you can't draft Mark Ingram and Aaron Jones on the same team more than likely. You just, you know, it's going to be much more difficult for you to, you know, navigate early season stuff if you draft guys with injuries, if you draft guys, you know, my Scott Fishbowl has Dante Foreman, Aaron Jones, and Mark Ingram on it. So I'm not always great at taking my own advice, but that's a different format. I may be in some trouble early on, but I might have a really dynamic team after week two or three. So I like Aaron Jones. Jamal Williams is a nice, you know, north and south kind of runner. Doesn't have any wiggle to him. Could be a little bit of a snowplow and steal some touchdowns. But I think ultimately Aaron Jones is the guy to own in this offense. I do like the kind of wild cardness of Ty Montgomery, though.
Yeah, I love it.
Especially in PPR formats. And, like, there isn't much of a price attached to this point.
Yeah, and then there's always the chance that, you know what, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have this running back thing down. Let's move you back to slot.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be great for him. I mean, we've discussed on a couple other podcasts about Randall Cobb how he's probably already in a walking boot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the token of health. So right now they have Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison on the outside, and Cobb slated for the slot receiver. But like we said, if Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams can take that role back as the running back, they move Ty Montgomery back into the slot, and he's still valuable. He's still a guy, you know, if you drafted super late, hoping on the post-type sleeper, you're going to get that, but just as a wide receiver. So,
speaking of wide receivers, like, what are you doing with this wide receiver core? I mean, obviously Adams has been fantastic. Randall Cobb is already hurt. There's been a lot of sleeper love for Geronimo Allison. I kind of like him too, but I still worry that the addition of Jimmy Graham takes away a lot of targets for a guy like Allison. So what are you doing out of this wide receiver core?
Yeah, I think there's still a role for Allison. But as far as Devontae Adams, he's pretty much locked in as a wide receiver one this year. I don't know how he couldn't be. But Randall Cobb, I've gone down that road before. I've been burned a couple times, had one good season with him. I'm probably not going to go back to the well just because he's been injury prone. He's been overhyped. And the addition of Jimmy Graham, I mean, it's a wild card. They're going to either use him outside. They're going to use him in the slot. They're going to use him as a tight end. I mean, Mike McCarthy will find a way to get this guy the ball. So Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham for me, and Geronimo Allison in probably a best ball type league maybe is my last round draft pick, but that's probably it for this wide receiver core.
I have seen people on social media and in articles go, well, the Packers have never had a good tight end. or never had a productive tight end. You're not going to get production for great production from Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw the tight end. Aaron Rodgers
is not a tight end.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has never had a Jimmy Graham on his team.
Yeah,
the talent is just insane. And if you think that Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL, is going to ignore a talent like Jimmy Graham and not throw to him, you're fucking insane.
Yeah, I mean, the guy tried to make an own position whenever he tried to negotiate his contract.
And
his
he was
contract.
Right. Like, he was totally right on that. Like, he should have been paid like a flex. Like, come up with a new position, because he is not just a tight end. And I know things weren't necessarily always great in Seattle after being traded there, but dude still has a ton of talent. If he's healthy, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's a great get for this offense. I mean, they probably didn't need him, but
no, they definitely
adding him,
didn't. But like, how do you cover all this?
Yeah, it's going to be insane. And Aaron Rodgers that's just another reason to put him as your number one quarterback. There's just so much around him.
Yeah. All right. Let's. Anything else you want to talk about on this team? Any deep sleepers or guys that you think we need to mention before we move on to the Vikings?
I do like Lance Kendricks, but only as like a best ball format, and then that's basically it for this team. I mean, their starters are locks pretty much every day or every week to start. It's just the running back situation, trying to navigate that and figuring out who you're going to draft and how much you're willing to pay for them.
All right, let's move on. Talk about the Vikings. The Vikings are a team that. People are really excited about, and for good reason. They bring in Kirk Cousins on a big free agent deal. Dalvin Cook should be back. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs still there. Kyle Rudolph still there. There's a lot of talent and balance to this offense. Let's start with Cousins. Are you a big Cousins supporter?
I am. I definitely am. So last year I was taking him everywhere I could. And unfortunately I got burned a little bit because he was not the best last year. He was decent, but he wasn't the best. And then coming into this year, I mean, he's got Adam Thielen, he's got Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook. I mean, Kyle Rudolph, he's got a lot of weapons. It's just, creating an offense around him that's going to be great. And right now I have him as a top 10 quarterback, and I'm not too worried about it. Actually, I think I'm going to dive back in the well again this year.
Oh, man, this is a tough one for me, being a Redskins fan. And it's not for the reason I think people are going to think. If you're newer to this podcast, I have hated on Kirk Cousins for a long time. However, it's purely from a true talent football perspective that I hate on Kirk Cousins. Because he's not a good quarterback. Like, he is an league average starter. Like, he's fine. He's whatever. He makes a ton of mistakes. For every great throw he makes a really stupid one. He's not necessarily good in the decision-making process. I don't like him as a real NFL quarterback, and I hated him as the Redskins quarterback. But he's a good fantasy quarterback, and he was a perfect fit for that system. In Washington, he's going into a really nice situation. I think the production comes down a little bit. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback in fantasy, though. So, I mean, he's probably closer to 10 than he is to, 5-6. But he may even, fall out of the top 10 depending on, what your format is. But ultimately, if Dalvin Cook is healthy, that's going to take a ton of pressure off of him. Having Thielen and Diggs on this team, will Laquon Treadwell ever become decent? I don't know, but there is a lot of talent in that passing game. Kyle Rudolph should have a gigantic year with Kirk Cousins. So I think he is a fairly safe guy. I think if people think he's got a huge amount of upside, you're wrong. He really doesn't.
Yeah, I agree. I think, he's right there at the back end of the top 10 for both of us. So I think I have him 8th, you have him 9th. So I don't see a lot of upside, like you said. If you want to take a chance on someone outside the top 10, just on the off chance that they make their way into the top 10, this is probably not your guy. But he's going to be consistent week in, week out. He's got playmakers all around him. He loves to use the tight end. They got a good tight end. They got two great receivers and a dynamic running back. So it's not like he was, dealt to the Bears or a terrible offensive mm-hmm. you know, offensive weapons. He's still got a lot of weapons around him.
Decent line in front of him too. It's not like it's not great, but it's not awful. So I mean, like, it's not going to be like last year where the Redskins' entire line got injured, and he's going to be on his back the whole time. So, yeah. But they're going to be frustrating moments with him. There always are. What do you do with Dalvin Cook? I've seen a lot of polarizing opinions on him this year. Some people are a little skeptical of what he's going to look like coming off of the injury. And then somebody took him first overall in the Scott Fish Bowl.
That's insane.
Overall.
Yeah, they don't even care about that. They just wanted the publicity, I think.
I have no idea who it was, way. But it's insane. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I am very nervous about Dalvin Cook and also Stephon Diggs, for that matter. Those two are very polarizing figures in fantasy football right now because there's a lot of guys super high on both of them, and I just don't see it. I mean, Dalvin Cook, I love the talent. If he wouldn't have gotten injured, then yes, he's probably being taken in the first round. But, I mean, listen to the guys going after him right now in ADP. I mean, there's Christian McCaffrey. There's LeSean McCoy, which I get now just because of the whole off-the-field issues. But your boy Jordan Howard, Joe Mixon, Devontae Freeman, they're all going after Dalvin Cook. And I love all of those guys probably more than I love Dalvin Cook. And it, like I said, it's nothing to do with the talent. I have to see how he looks coming off a major injury, a major knee injury. And that's what he used. I mean, that's what his whole purpose is in the NFL, is to be a dynamic running back. And I know, you know, medicine has come a long way and, you know, he could probably come back and be the same guy, but I'm just factoring in that, okay, well, there's probably a little bit of regression coming towards him, and I'm not comfortable taking him in the first round or in the top end of the second round either.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think you said it best. I have him as my 13th ranked running back right now. I think he's probably a mid to late second rounder for me. And he's not going to be there. So yeah. I'm going to have probably no shares of Dalvin Cook unless I have him on one of my dynasty teams, which I don't
you
think
and I
do.
Both. So. You and I both will have no shares of him. But like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong because I love to see the guy play.
Yeah, I completely agree. You said it sounds like you're a little bit down on Stephon Diggs. Do you want to tell me why?
I have him ranked 20th, and I've seen a lot of people saying this is going to be the breakout year for Stephon Diggs. I think he has a lot of hype based off that one play he made in the postseason. Adam Thielen is the more reliable, probably the better receiver of the two. I've fallen for Diggs. 2 years ago I fell for him after he came on the scene as, you know, undrafted rookie. And he's dynamic. I love him. I love the way that he runs his routes. I love, you know, his athleticism, but I just don't see him putting together a full season where he's going to be even the best receiver on their team. And I can't draft him, you know, as a top 10 wide receiver in front of guys that I just know are going to be completely better. And there isn't, you know, a guy on their team that's going to be better than him going later. So that's one of the things that I just don't get about Stephon Diggs. I can't take that risk, you know, that high of a draft pick on a guy that I'm not completely sold on is going to give me, you know, all the production all year.
Yeah, I think he's going a little bit higher than I'm willing to take him, especially just in the spot that he's going in. And I think Thielen will be the better weapon overall for Cousins. I think he runs his routes in the area that Cousins prefers to throw to. So I think Thielen and Rudolph are easily the top two targets for Cousins, and so therefore I mean Diggs obviously is gonna struggle at times, but I mean the talent is obviously there. I mean, dude, you know, 849 yards, 8 touchdowns on 64 receptions last year. You know, the problem is, I think, with Diggs is you're going to see it come in bunches. You know, there were huge games, the Tampa Bay game last year, the New Orleans game last year. And then there were the duds, you know, there was the game against the Rams. There was, you know, the game against Cleveland, which you would think would be a huge game for him. You know, 6 points in PPR scoring. That's, you know, I think the consistency will be an issue. I prefer him in a best ball league where the explosions will help you win weeks. And, you know, the duds won't hurt you as much. But I think Thielen, for me, is the guy that probably is the biggest beneficiary, other than Rudolph, from a guy like Kirk Cousins coming in. I mean, and Thielen was super consistent last year, definitely had some explosion games too, but I think, you know, while he struggled a little bit in the fantasy playoffs, so that probably hurt teams, you got him for nothing. So, like, I hate when people complain about guys not performing, and it's like, dude, you picked Adam Thielen up off the waiver wire. No one knew who this kid was, and you got a guy who, you know, finished as, what, like a top 10 wide receiver last year. So I think Thielen's going to be just fine. I think he'll find just as much consistency on as many big games with Kirk Cousins this year.
Yeah, and just looking at Thielen's stats last year, I mean, he had 142 targets compared to Stephon Diggs' 95. And I know there's a new quarterback coming in, and maybe he likes Diggs more than he likes Thielen. I mean, there's always the case like that. But with all the targets to go around, Thielen still got 50 more than Stephon Diggs. And so give me that production. Give me the chance at a catch with Adam Thielen, more than just, you know, Stephon Diggs just being like a gadget guy, basically the speed guy. I know he's not really a gadget guy. He's still got a lot to learn, but Adam Thielen is a polished route runner. He's going to be right in the line of sight for Kirk Cousins, like you said. And I'm definitely taking Adam Thielen over Stephon Diggs, and I can't afford Diggs at where he's being taken this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's the price alone doesn't make sense for Diggs. That's my feeling. I keep mentioning Kyle Rudolph because I'm super excited about Kyle Rudolph playing with Kirk Cousins. Cousins loves throwing to the tight end when the tight end is healthy. As long as Kyle Rudolph is healthy, I think he's going to have a gigantic year. Or are you with me on the Kyle Rudolph bandwagon?
Completely agree. We have him both ranked 7th, and there's definitely a chance he could be a top 4 tight end this year. He could be right behind those top 3 of these guys, and no one would blink an eye. Mm-hmm. Just because, like you said, Kirk Cousins loves to use the tight end whenever they're healthy. Jordan Reed, just think Jordan Reed back before all the injuries. Think of how productive he was with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback, and just translate that.
He made Vernon Davis relevant again.
Right. Yeah, just translate that to Kyle Rudolph, and it's going to play well. I mean, he had a lot of touchdowns last year with Case Keenum. He's going to be more involved in the offense getting to the red zone, and then once they get there, he's always going to be in line for a target down there. So, yeah, I love me some Kyle Rudolph this year.
Yeah, double-digit touchdowns for Kyle Rudolph this year. Calling it.
Yep, I'm on it.
All right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. I mean, unless there's – did I skip over anybody that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, do you have any interest in Latavius Murray at all, just because we're both super down on Dalvin Cook? I don't like him as a running back. I've seen him run, and he runs very weird. I don't understand how he's so effective, but – if Dalvin Cook is as bad as
Dalvin Cook's necessarily going to be bad. I just don't want to invest my first round draft pick in a guy coming off a major knee surgery that only played half a season last year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm just thinking back to last year on how productive Latavius Murray was after the injury. And I mean, he still had 840 yards and 8 touchdowns. So it's not like he's just going to sit there and wither on the bench, especially with Dalvin Cook coming off an injury. So I think he'll have a role in this offense.
Yeah,
but do you have any interest?
I mean, if I can get him super late, maybe I steal someone's handcuff. But I'm not a big fan of drafting other people's handcuffs. Unless the dude has like huge upside on his own, I just not my thing to do. I've never been, you know, I'd much rather end up with a Dante Foreman than a guy like Latavius Murray on my roster.
Yeah, I got you. And then, is there any value in Laquon Treadwell? I mean, this guy was picked in the first round, and he cannot see the field at all.
Not for redrafts. Deep dynasty leagues.
You're still holding on to him?
I think I've got him in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League, or what we call the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League. And I think I'm still holding on to him. I'll have to double check. I have a lot of draft picks this year, so it may be the time to cut bait. The talent is there. Like, there is talent there. I don't understand why he's not on the field. Like, how can you project right now Kendall Wright to be the third wide receiver on this team? And I've been a huge Kendall Wright apologist for a long time.
I love Kendall Wright.
I do too. But like, at what point you know, I mean, this guy was drafted in, as like you said, a first-round pick 2016. This has to be the year. It's make or break for Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah, or else he'll be picked up by the Patriots and be a wide receiver one next year.
Yeah, that's the scary part is, you know. I mean, at least it was, I wanted the Redskins to draft Treadwell so much. And I'm just glad he's going to suck on another team and not, like, burn me later. So, but, yeah, from a fantasy perspective, he's a watch list guy for me. I don't know that there is enough action to go around with Thielen, Diggs, and Rudolph on this team. I don't know, even if Treadwell is the number three wide receiver, without an injury, I don't think there's too many mouths to feed.
Yeah, there was an injury last year to Diggs and Thielen. I mean, I think a couple of them, or both of them, missed either one or two games each. And he was on the field, but it's not like you started him or picked him up or anything. So, yeah, I love the talent. I just don't see a role in this offense, unfortunately.
And this is what I was talking about earlier on in the podcast about wide receiver being a hard position to translate to in the National Football League from college, is because route running is so precise and you need to have it so clean. Because just because you're, like, a physically gifted player, like, everybody is a physically gifted player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, even the worst players in the NFL are so amazingly physically gifted. It's like, you know, and so you can't get away with shitty route running, and Laquon Treadwell has not perfected that. He, you know, right now he is a guy who's got, you know, strong hands and, you know, a good body. But that's it. Like, he needs to learn how to run a route before he's going to be productive at the you know, big time levels. All right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Colin, remind people where you can reach on social media and then plug all your work.
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherBox13. I'll probably still be doing a few more baseball podcasts for the rest of the fantasy baseball season, and then keep plugging away at these position previews and division previews. It's a lot of fun doing these previews, and definitely go out there and start some best balls. It's a great way to mock draft. I love doing best balls as a mock draft because it's a real draft with real people. They have something in it for them, and maybe, you know, if you draft well enough, you might win some money too. So go out there and do some best balls and get ready for the football season as well.
You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read all my stuff over on Fantasy Alarm for football, Friends of Fantasy Benefits for football. I do also baseball for both those sites, as well as baseball for Fangraphs. And you can hear me on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Sundays, where I talk baseball and sometimes football with Laura Michaels of Creative Sports. So it's a lot of fun. So that's going to wrap us up. For Colin and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.